sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me.
Welcome to the audio ministry of Salem Primitive Baptist Church, located in Graysville, Arkansas. I would like to thank you for listening in and hope you are blessed in the Word today. I would also like to invite you to come and worship with us in person. We have worship service every Sunday morning at 10:30 and Bible study every Wednesday night at 6:30. Please like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to us on YouTube for the most current updates. You can find links to these and more information about us on our website. It's www.salempbchurch.com. Thank you again, and may you be blessed in the knowledge of our God and Father.
Good evening. It's a blessing to be here this evening. I want to start out by thanking y'all for the invitation. I appreciate the cards that I received this week and the prayers that's been going up. It's a very humbling experience to be asked to come and be part of a meeting, especially when there's a lot more able-bodied preachers here tonight, in my opinion, but I am thankful for the opportunity. I do ask for your continued prayers. I can't do this without your prayers and without the Lord being in it.
Amen.
I want to look in John chapter 3 today, something that I've read and studied on recently, and I love to read and study familiar stories and wait for the details that I've never seen before.
Yeah.
And tonight I want to look at Nicodemus. Nicodemus is, you know, a fairly common name to us. What do you think of when you think of Nicodemus? There's one story in particular where he comes to Jesus by night. And that seems to overshadow the other mentions of Nicodemus in the Scripture. And so I want to share that with you tonight.
Yes.
And, you know, as a child of God, I believe once we are quickened, once we come to realize that we're a child of God, from that moment on, we grow in the Lord. And I don't believe we stop growing in the Lord unless we somehow backslide or take our focus off of the Lord. But I can't help but think of my grandmother. You know, she lived to be 92, and she was probably the most spiritual person I've ever encountered in my life. And it seemed like the older she got, the less natural things that she had. As her health got worse, she only became more spiritual. And I want to show you how that happened to Nicodemus. The first time we read of Nicodemus is in John chapter 3, in the first verse. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And you can see a lot about Nicodemus in that first verse, right? The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. I find it interesting, first of all, that he comes to Jesus by night, possibly afraid of being ridiculed or made fun of, or maybe even feared for his life or his job or whatever. He didn't want to be seen publicly reaching out to Jesus. And, you know, we're often that way, whether we realize it or not. How many of you have ever been asked, what church do you go to? Well, I go to such and such Primitive Baptist Church. Because we know the word primitive is going to bring up questions. And so we're not always willing to just come out and say, well, I'm a member of such and such Primitive Baptist Church. It's not that we're ashamed of Jesus, but a lot of times it's just that we can't answer the way that we feel like we need to. And maybe that was the case with Nicodemus. Maybe he was afraid that if somebody asked him, what were you doing with Jesus, he wouldn't know exactly how to say it. And so he goes on, he says, I know you're from God because right. of the things that you've done. You can't do those if you're not of God.
Amen.
There's no possible way for you to perform the miracles and all these things if you were not of God. Yeah. So that shows that Nicodemus was willing to take a gamble here and go and see what this Jesus was all about. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost.
There you go.
Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? What did Nicodemus do wrong right here? He started thinking naturally instead of thinking spiritually. Jesus was telling him, that unless you've been born again, you're not going to be able to experience this spiritual kingdom. But his mind automatically went back to natural. Can we relate to that? Our natural minds can't comprehend the things of God. In reality, we say we believe. We say that God can do anything. We say that God spoke light into existence. We say that He spoke the world into existence. But our mind can't comprehend that.
That's exactly right.
Our mind can't explain how that happens. So Nicodemus is like, okay, I've got to be born again. I've already been born one time. Am I supposed to go back into my mother's womb and come out a second time? That doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And I know there's a dozen different explanations for what that verse means. I'm led to believe, personally, that Jesus is telling him, because he asked about a natural birth, I believe Jesus is telling him, except a man be naturally born and then spiritually born, you cannot experience this kingdom. I believe that's what he was telling him. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. You have no control over when you're born of the Spirit. Just like you have no control over when you're born naturally. You know, I wasn't in my mother's womb and decided, you know what, I'm tired of being in here. Now people may say that, but it's all a process. And that baby comes when the good Lord says it's time for that baby to come. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Jesus, I still don't understand what you're trying to tell me. I'm still not comprehending this spiritual birth you're talking about. I know what birth is. Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things?
Wow.
You're a smart man.
That's right. That's
yeah.
right.
In the world that you come from, you are a smart man. You are full of knowledge. And yet you can't comprehend what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
You know, I worked in the manufacturing industry for a number of years. And we had some really smart people come through there in the 26 years that I was there. We had engineers, we had all sorts of degrees. But you know, even with an engineering degree, they can't always see the normal things. They can put it on paper. They can show you how it's supposed to work. They can even draw it in 3D and show you how it's all going to work. We had a project one time, and we were having to design a platform for some equipment to mount to, and it needed a flip-down step. So we got one of our best 3D designers, and he designed it, and he measured it, he modeled it, he showed us on the screen how it's supposed to work. We get down there and get the first one mounted, and guess what? It just didn't quite work. We had to make a few adjustments. You see, Nicodemus needed to make a few adjustments in his thought process. He needed to stop thinking naturally and start thinking spiritually. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen and receive not our witness. I have told you earthly things and you believe not. How shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? If you can't even believe some of the things that I tell you naturally speaking, how are you going to understand them spiritually? And no man hath ascended up to heaven but he that come down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now, I want to point something out here. I don't want to get on a John 3:16 kick tonight, but I believe John 3:16 is probably one of the most misunderstood verses of the Bible. When he says here, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, who were the people in the wilderness?
Israel.
The children of God, right? It is clear, he said, let my people go. These were his people.
Right.
Every one of them headed to eternal glory with God when they leave this world. Looking at, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, looking on that serpent didn't turn them from not being a child of God into being a child of God. What it did was it allowed the children of God to have more peace and comfort. Mm-hmm. So he says, just like that, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Just like people looking upon that serpent made them at peace, not as sick, so does us looking at Jesus helps us not be spiritually sick, spiritually hurting. It doesn't change us from headed to hell to headed to heaven. So he's going on about this spiritual life, this spiritual relationship with God. All right? I don't want to take any more time on that verse. I want to go now to the next time that Nicodemus is mentioned. But what I want to point out in this first part with Nicodemus was his relationship with Christ. He was almost hesitant because he went at night. He was fearful of his life. He didn't want everybody to know what he was doing. He kind of was very reserved in his approach to Jesus, right? The next time that Nicodemus is mentioned, and he's only in John. There's no other scripture that I can find on Nicodemus. In John chapter 7 is the next time that we hear about Nicodemus. Starting at verse 45. Then came the officers to the chief priest and the Pharisees, and they said unto him, why have ye not brought him? The officers answered, never man spake like this man. We've never heard anything like this before. We want to go and grab him, but when we do, the things that we hear him saying is unlike anything we've ever heard. Then answered them the Pharisees, are ye also deceived? Has he fooled y'all too? Are y'all following his nonsense too? Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Now listen at verse 50. Nicodemus saith unto them, who is them? This is his peers. These are the ones he didn't want to see him going to Jesus. So now he says unto them, he that cometh to Jesus by night, being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him, and knoweth what he doeth? Are we not supposed to make sure he's doing something wrong before we grab him? Are we not supposed to make sure that this person that we go and grab is guilty of something? Isn't that not what our law is for? You see the difference here than when he first went to Jesus by night? Now he's publicly, he didn't come out and say, hey, y'all leave Jesus alone. But he did say, hey, we need to make sure this man is doing something wrong before we go and we put hands on him. They answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. Nothing's ever come out of there. God has never used that people before. And every man went unto his own house. You see, Nicodemus had a little bit of influence on him at the time, didn't he? Reminds me of a story when Gamaliel called the men off of the apostles there. He told them, give them some space. We've seen this before, and if it's not of God, it's not going to come to anything anyway. But what did he say then? But if it is of God, there's nothing we can do to stop. I believe Nicodemus had that same attitude here. If this Jesus is really who he says he is, then we have no business messing with him. Now, John chapter 19. And this is the last time that Nicodemus is mentioned. This is after Christ is crucified. Let's go to verse 38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? Besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. Listen to verse 39. And there came also Nicodemus. Nicodemus that was afraid to be seen with Jesus. Nicodemus that finally got up enough courage to kind of take up for him. Which at first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes about 100 pound weight. Is this the same Nicodemus that we read about earlier? Yes and no. Naturally, yes.
That's right.
Spiritually, no.
That's right.
Then they took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. Now I want you to think about this Nicodemus. What kind of transition he must have went through from the time that he first went to Jesus to actually helping prepare the body of Christ.
Amen,
for burial. It didn't say that he snuck in there and tried to help with the body of Jesus. I believe at this point in his life, he was past all that. I believe he was humbled. Look, preparing a body for burial has to be a very humbling experience. There's no glory in it, no self-glory. I mean, he was a Pharisee, he was a ruler. He had his day of glorying in himself. But now, he's more of a servant. What can I do to show what Jesus meant to me? How can I show my love to him? He's dead now. We're about to put him in the tomb. We are preparing his body. Let me help. Let me do the job that nobody else wants to do. I can't tell you, when I first saw this transition in Nicodemus, it really hit home to me. Because I want to be a servant. I want to be the type of servant that Nicodemus was in the end. I don't want to be one that says, oh yeah, well, I believe in this Jesus person, and then just let that be it. And not be willing to publicly talk about it. I want to be the type of servant that is willing to do whatever it takes to serve him, even if it's the most humiliating of the jobs. You know, one thing that Primitive Baptists hold dear, and I am so thankful for it, is the foot washing. Mm-hmm. You know, I joined the church at a young age. I was about 10 years old when I joined the church. And for many years, I would attend the communion service, but I wouldn't participate. My dad was a member of our church for many years. He wouldn't participate. He wouldn't participate because he had an oil field accident and lost four of his toes on one foot. He was embarrassed by that foot. I thought it was just silly and nasty as a teenager, to be honest with you. I didn't want any part of washing somebody else's feet. And why are these grown men up there with tears in their eyes washing each other's feet? It didn't make any sense to me. You see, I was thinking naturally. Uh-huh. Yes. I hadn't seen the spiritual side of that service.
Right.
And I remember one of the first times I participated in that service. Oh, you know, well, it's cool, you get to drink wine. You get to eat a cracker or bread with no taste. But I'm going to tell you something. That foot washing got me. I saw spiritually what that was all about.
Oh, yes.
And you know what's sad to me? The very thing that I believe it's meant to teach is the very thing that keeps people from doing it.
Right.
Humility.
Amen. Good point.
And the most spiritual time I can remember in that service, my dad participated.
Amen.
He was finally spiritually strong enough to say, I don't care what my foot looks like.
Amen.
I never got to wash my grandfather's feet. I wish I would have. But you know what got me even worse than washing my dad's feet? Seeing my children wash feet.
Yes, yes, yes.
Seeing that spiritual side take over and not worry about the natural side. You know, my wife was raised in Southern Baptist, and then she was in Assembly of God for a long time. That's a little different than Primitive Baptist. Well, when we had our son, we knew we wanted him to raise our children in church. We were spiritually strong enough for that. She wanted her church. I wanted my church. So there, at first, she would take him to her church, and then we would take him to my church. And she was finally convicted that she needed to be with her husband, with me. But for a long time, she just didn't understand what beauty is in the grace that we teach. And I say this because it goes right along with Nicodemus and how you're, when we grow spiritually, you know the scripture, he must increase but I must decrease. One of my favorite scriptures. He must increase. Our spirituality must increase and our naturalities must decrease. And she fought joining our church for so long. She was pregnant with my daughter. We were back row Primitive Baptists. We sit in the very back row in the back corner. And preaching service had ended. That last song was going. She pushed me out of the way.
Wow.
Her words were, "Move, I have to get up there." Spirituality took over. It took over that natural instinct that I don't want to do that. It's embarrassing. I don't want people to see me do that. Just like we see Nicodemus and his transition through his life. And I wish there was more about Nicodemus. I would love to know, was there some events that took place after he went to Jesus that helped him get stronger and stronger spiritually? I can tell you right now, I can name off a half a dozen in my life that's helped me spiritually.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And I don't understand how anybody can get through life without the peace that comes with worship.
Yeah, me too.
With a relationship with God. I don't understand it. You know, I'm in my late 40s now, but when I was in my by the time I was in my early 40s, I had lost all my grandparents, both my parents. So much loss, and yet some of the most peaceful moments in my life were when I found out that my loved ones had gone on. Naturally speaking, it hurt like crazy.
Sure.
But spiritually speaking, we know, don't we?
Amen.
We know where they are. When we were sitting down planning my dad's funeral, my dad was well known in our local towns. He grew up there, went to school there, and the people that owned the funeral home knew him well. And they asked, "Well, who's conducting the service?" And before I even thought about it, I said, "Me." Well, that doesn't seem like a real fun thing to do, to preach your own dad's funeral. But you know, I had more peace speaking at that funeral than any other funeral I've ever spoken at.
God is so good.
Do you know why I had that peace? Because I was thinking spiritually. Not only did my dad have a bad foot, he had a bad back. He had smoked all his life. His blood vessels were shot. When they loaded him in the ambulance to take him to the hospital, he was struggling for every breath. And when I stood up there and spoke at my dad's funeral, I knew he wasn't worried about toes, he wasn't worried about his back, he wasn't worried about breathing, he wasn't worried about any of those things. I was looking at it spiritually. I was lifted up. It was a wonderful service. 2 years before that, I couldn't have done that. You see, we grow spiritually.
Yes, we do. Amen.
And it's not easy. People think, "Well, Brother Keith, you're a preacher. It comes natural to you." If I was Satan, I would come after the preachers first. Because guess what? If I can turn a preacher, if I can get somebody up there that all of you are looking at and expecting to hear the truth, and I can have him bring something that's not true, hey, we got to stay strong spiritually. We have to grow spiritually just like Nicodemus did. I want to be more spiritual tomorrow than I am today. I want every day I want to grow spiritually. And there's always opportunities. No matter where you're at, no matter who you're with, no matter what you're doing, you can grow spiritually.
Amen.
You know, I have a small business that I've been trying to grow. And I always pray, Lord, how can I honor you in what I do? And you know, there's been numerous occasions where a customer comes to pick something up, and we end up talking about Jesus for 30 or 45 minutes. I'm not like the first Nicodemus. I'm gradually getting towards that last Nicodemus. And some of the most uplifting conversations I've had have been in my shop with perfect strangers. Not trying to convert them to Primitive Baptist. You know, we have a lot more in common with other denominations than most people will admit to. We can sit here and we can bash other denominations for this, that, and other. But what I love is when we can say, you know what? We love Jesus. We love God. We know Jesus came down here for us. And there's a lot of common ground in that.
That's right.
And when we think spiritually and not naturally, not only can we grow, but we can help others grow.
Amen. That's right.
We can grow together. I feel like the Lord's through with me tonight. I apologize if it was short. I just think that's a powerful message. It's every time I read it, when I get to the part where he's helping prepare the body, I just get chills.
Yeah.
And I just think of how much that man changed. And we don't know how long it was. I don't know if you could go back and trace it from the time he first came to Jesus. It couldn't have been all that long. But yet, his spirituality changed so much. I believe his relationship with God changed so much. And I believe when he was preparing the body of Jesus, he was experiencing the kingdom. I believe he was in it, and he may not have been experiencing it to its fullness, which I don't think any of us ever do, but I believe he felt close to God, and I believe he did that with a servant's heart.
Amen.
Lord bless y'all.
I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ.
Thank you again for joining us at Salem Primitive Baptist Church. I pray that the Word of God may brightly shine in your lives. If you would like to contact us or would like to download a copy of today's message, please go to www.salempbchurch.com. God bless you all.
Who died for me? Sing His praise.
Sing His praise.
The saints in glory.
The saints in glory.
Gathered by
the crystal sea.
The crystal sea.